Blog Talk Radio.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Though your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know. You cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything. He'll make it all right. He will make it all right.
Welcome to Don't Give Up Radio. I am your host, Jackie Wayans, and we are here for another fantastic week when we can really give thanks that we have made it through whatever difficulties, whatever challenges that have been presented to us, that we are still here. And while we may not be as hopeful or as joyful, or maybe we are, but after today's show, you'll have a little bit more fight, a little bit more ammunition to go forward and to reach that dream that's inside of you, and not to give up on it, and not to give up on yourself. Today we have a wonderful guest with us. Her name is Contessa Brown. She is founder, CEO, and director of Cafe Soul, and you will find out more about what Cafe Soul is, but let me tell you, it is good for your soul, and I'm sure after the show you're going to want to run right on over there and see it live and in person for yourself. Contessa, great to have you with us.
Thank you very much for having me, Jackie. I really do appreciate this opportunity.
Oh, well, we've been working on it for a while, and we finally were able to get the date and the time to make it happen this year, so I'm glad to have you with us, and I know you have so much to share. I want to take a moment and just go back a little bit and get a sense of who you are and what type of person you describe yourself as being, and give me a little hint as to what your childhood was like also.
Absolutely, Jackie. Well, who is Contessa? Contessa is a free bird, a free soul. I am, you know, a devout Christian, woman of God. And, you know, how I was growing up, I was raised in a Navy life. I was a Navy brat up until the age of 13. And after then, you know, we traveled a little bit. But by the age of 13, you know, that's when my mom and husband went through a divorce. But, you know, that's okay because that built character in me as well. And we traveled from different state to state, New Jersey and Florida, but settled in Rhode Island, which is where I'm currently at right now, in Providence, Rhode Island.
Wonderful. I love that term, free bird. It sounds so free. You know, it's really great. And where did that develop in you? How did you come to that terminology for yourself?
My mom gave me the freedom to be myself, to, you know, explore who I am as an individual. You know, being an only child, you have that, you know, ability to, you know, get to know who you are. And my mom always had me believe in myself. And also she instilled in me how to, you know, be confident in my own self-identity and being an individual.
I love having or hearing about moms who are very supportive of their children and allowing them to find out what the gifts and the talents are that lie within them so that they can strengthen and grow. What about faith? Was that any part of your childhood, any understanding about God and who He is?
Absolutely. Well, my mom always, you know, gave me a foundation of who God is and who Jesus Christ is, and to always run to your word and read your word. We did not attend church on a regular basis. However, my mom still always reminded me who we owe our thanks to and who developed this world. And so I always had this, you know, this envision of who God was, this grandiose being that created the universe that I was currently residing in.
Now, you mentioned there that there was a breakup between your mom and dad when you were 13. Usually that can be a bit traumatic or impacting. How did that affect you?
Well, at the age of 13, of course, that's your very pivotal moment of going to your next stage of identity. And at that time, I actually, you know, tried to fill an empty, missing void of losing a father figure. And I would run to boys at that time for attention and comfort. But, you know, it was a lesson learned. And, of course, you know, my mom always tried to be the voice of reason. She did understand, like, you know, what I was going through, but she still would give me that voice of reason and to, like, you know, keep focused on what I need to be, especially, you know, still at school at a young age as well. But I was hard-headed and wanted to learn on my own, but I still had the mom's words of wisdom somewhere tucked in the back of my mind.
Of course, that's how it always works. We kind of tuck it back there, and it just comes up when it needs to and saves us from a lot of heartache. In fact, I had a guest on just recently, Crystal Victoria, who, you know, shared the same thing. And, you know, dads really have to realize the impact that they have on their daughters. It just comes up over and over and over again. But besides all of this, you know, being a free bird and going through this period where you know, running to boys' attention, it seems like you were doing well academically. Is that true?
That is correct.
So what was your desires? What did you want to be? What did you want to do?
Well, I had a series of things I always wanted to do. I wanted to be a doctor, and then, you know, at one point, because I did like to debate, I wanted to be a lawyer. But then I was like, well, that takes a lot of time, school-wise and also family-wise, quality time. So, you know, once I was later on in high school, I had a teacher, Mr. Rainey, rest in peace, who really gave me a really good passion for psychology. And I was always interested in wanting to know, why do people act the way they do? Why do they react the way they do? How do they become the person that they are right now? So rather than just giving a snapshot judgment of who they are, I felt like psychology would give me a better understanding of how people think and also more patience in getting to know who individuals are.
That is very interesting, and it sounds like you were very much a thinker, a deep thinker about life and about yourself. So what were those early college years like? What was it, you know, when you started there? What are the things that you kept personality? What are the things you decided to shed?
Very interesting. Well, definitely, once I moved on to college, of course, you definitely need to get to your independence. And, you know, I always was still, you know, a free thinker, a free bird. I still always like to embrace people of many different types of backgrounds. And so once I got to college, I knew, like, you know, this is something serious. So I knew I still had to remain focused academically and do what I was supposed to do. I also still had fun, like any other college student, you know, going to college parties and whatnot. But still, I made sure at the end of the day that my work was completed first, so that way, you know, I can enjoy, I guess you could say, the fruits of my labor.
Yeah, I mean, that's the good way to do it. If you're going to party, may as well you make sure that you have the work part done. So that gave you a peace of mind. But I'm curious to know, from the young girl who was, you know, looking for love in all the wrong, and here you are in college, were you feeling fulfilled? You know, you have this thirst for knowledge that's being quenched, and you're still, you know, able to party and have a good time. Did you feel fulfilled by that?
I still had that missing zone. I still would go to woman at this point for some type of comfort and attention, but still something felt empty. It just did not feel right. So it was more towards the latter portion of my college years where I had started to go to church and get that, you know, empty, missing zone filled. And I realized that the true love and the best man to receive that love was Jesus Christ. So that's when I finally got to gravitate towards solidifying my faith for myself once I actually did graduate college after. That's when I really, really started going into learning more about God and his promises and, you know, understanding his word. You know, I always had the Bible with me everywhere I went, but I never gained true revelation of the knowledge until I started to seek him and, you know, go to church services.
Right, that knowledge actually became life. And many people have Bibles tucked in a drawer under their bed, but until you open it and read it, that knowledge can't be revealed to you. And when I talk about knowledge, it's not just reading it. It is allowing the Lord to reveal to you, like you said, the revelation of the word. So at that point, you know, you gave your heart to the Lord. You made that commitment to him. You even got baptized, which is great. A lot of young people leave that part out. And what happened to you next? So how did you develop after that in terms of your feeling about how you were supposed to live your life?
Right shortly after I had chose to get baptized, I kind of started to reevaluate my life goals and career. And at that point, I thought, you know, I don't want to be a psychologist stuck behind a desk writing in a notebook people's problems. I don't want to do that. I want to do something more creative. And then also, you know, at that time, giving my heart to the Lord, I did what I thought I was supposed to do. I gave up everything cold turkey that I thought was supposed to be, like, you know, the right thing. You know, I stopped going to clubs and parties and all this other stuff. But I was like, Lord, what am I left to do for fun? What am I supposed to do? So then he gave me this vision of Cafe Soul, which is a positive alternative to clubs and bars and a great way to bring people together through music, art, and food.
I love the title, Cafe Soul. That's great. Did the title come to you, by the way, right away?
Actually, very interestingly, great ideas, I always think, come when you're in the shower. I have to say that. So, and that's even when the ideas even started to flow in. And the acronyms for SOUL stands for Sacred Ordinances Used for Life.
Wow.
Because as a Christian,
you know, I want you to actually hold that for a second. When we come back, I want you to tell us more about that. Because the important thing here is that, you know, you did something drastic by getting rid of all your music and changing your lifestyle, which is drastic, and it shows your commitment. But what's more important is that when you wait on the Lord, he's going to direct you, and he's going to tell you exactly what you should be doing next.
Amen.
Yo, KB, how you doing? What up? Chilling. Can I talk to you for a second? What's up? I just need some advice. I don't mean to sound sappy, but I'm feeling real crap. Well, take your time and holler at me. It's hard to explain and make sense in my brain. In your brain. Every time that I be talking to myself. I know what you're saying when it seems that it's hard to conquer people, but it's even harder conquering yourself. See, I'm tired of the fight. My soul lies dormant. While time steady passing, flashing by like light. Okay. Last year I was cool. Right. I'm 5'2". This year feels like my salvation, so I'm striking. Wow. I don't even know what to do. I'm confused. That's a boot. And the prey to me feels like I'm pulling a tooth. Well, I done been there, dude. So let me tell you what to do. Stand still. God's trying to speak. Say, you just like
your aunt face. That's why I'm thinking about running away. I've been quit school, and I just got fired, cause I missed too many days putting vomit in the toilet. Now the pressure is boiling. Underwater, I'm sinking. God don't really love me.
No,
that's just
wait,
what I'm thinking.
Listen, you see, God don't cut you off cause you made some mistakes. Do you think if that was the case, I would be here today? Be able to say that he'll forgive you anyway, but you first have to repent from that secret place.
The secret place.
Your heart, baby, that's the space. Just give it to him and let him love all your hurt away.
But for the last time, please tell me, what should I do?
Wait. He's trying to speak.
When you have those questions that just can't be asked, answered, you just have to wait upon the Lord. Open your heart, and he will show you the way, as he did with Contessa Brown, the founder, CEO, and director of Cafe Soul. You're listening to Don't Give Up Radio. I am your host, Jackie Wayans. And just before we broke, you had given us the acronym for the Soul in Cafe Soul. Why don't you just give that to us again and then, you know, elaborate a little bit for us?
Absolutely, Jackie. So the SOUL in Cafe SOUL stands for Sacred Ordinances Used for Life. And basically, is as a Christian, what we live for is just not Sundays or Wednesdays or Fridays when we have service. This is a 24/7, you know, being of self. So no matter what, this is the ordinance that we have to hold to ourselves accountable for the rest of our lives. And so we'll have our ups and downs. We'll fall. But at the end of the day, when we get back up, we still got those ordinances that we still have to uphold and, you know, go forward in.
So talk to me a little bit more about the passion of Cafe Soul and what the vision actually was that God gave you that day.
Absolutely. God gave me the vision of Cafe Soul as a way to not only just be a positive alternative to clubs and bars, but most importantly, to be able to win souls for the kingdom through art and entertainment, to be able to draw people in of many different walks of life and through different backgrounds with music and art and food and expression of being who you are.
And what's particularly interesting about Cafe Soul is it is designed just like you said, but you open it up to anyone who wants to come. It's not a closed off arena.
Correct. That is very correct.
So now I'm curious to know, because a lot of us, we get inspired ideas. We believe that it's God speaking to us, but we have a very hard time moving from thought to reality. Talk to us about that period of time from when that thought came into your head to when Cafe Soul actually became a reality.
Absolutely. The thought of Cafe Soul was conceived in November of 2008. That's when Delord had gave me the vision, and what I thought was procrastination really was not procrastination. It was really a process of God preparing me. But literally 9 months later, in August of 2009, is when Cafe Soul was birthed. And how I was able to, I had this one lady who gave a very great metaphor. When God gives you a vision, he gives you people like to help you birth the vision. Just like you're in a hospital, you have your doctor, you have the nurse, you have people there to encourage you to give birth to what is lying in you. So one of my friends was one of those people who helped to push and motivate me to get this vision to be birthed. He set fire under me so that way, you know, I could just go and just not worry about what I have right now, but just to work with what I already have. And as I go along the way, everything is going to come along accordingly. And God, once he gives you the vision, he gives you the provision as well along the way. You just have to step in that faith and continue to go forward and not worry about what you see at that moment in time.
Right, because a lot of times we have these lofty ideas. We're so used to seeing other people's finished products, and we think that's what our starting out product needs to look like. But we just need to get started where we are. And what's so wise about that friend of yours is he said, listen, just pick an opening date. You know, start your social media. Do what you can do and just go forth on that, and God will provide the resources and the people as you go forth. And you actually saw that coming to pass. And I can tell you that's the same thing that happened with me with the radio show. It was a desire in my heart. I didn't know how to do it. But he sent along a friend to say, hey, I do it. This is how you can get started. And it just built, and it's continuing to build. I'm sure Cafe Soul isn't 100% what you want it to be, but that's what's great about it is because you can continue to develop it and make it into keep breathing new life into it. So what was the first event like?
The first event actually took place at the church I was attending at that time, and it was just beautiful because it was packed with full of beautiful people of many different backgrounds and faiths. And so, you know, I had the church set up like as if it was a nice lounge area, like, you know, so that way people didn't feel like it was actually in a church. I had different types of music going on that was like you know, very, like, neo-soul, like, but you, it was, like, neo-soul Christian music, like, you know, your Lisa McClendon's and William Demp's and whatnot. And also what I would do at that time, which I still do from time to time, it's like a mini sermon of words of encouragement. It would be called spoken word, but in essence, the word of God being spoken. But in a way that is put, so people who are not even Christian could still relate and apply it to their lives, you know. So it would be just basically a motivational piece that I would speak. And that first night was just amazing because I got to see what I was, like, dreaming of all this time come to flesh. It was just so beautiful and amazing.
You know, that's the beauty of pursuing it, is that you get to see that moment and time, and you get to see it come to life. As I mentioned before, you open the doors of Cafe Soul to, you know, anyone who wants to attend. Now, I'm interested in the fact that you said your starting event actually happened in a church. And
yes.
A lot of times you hear, well, if you have it in a church, no one's going to come. If you have it in a church, you know, people who are not Christians aren't going to support it. So how did you get this great turnout of, you know, a mixed group of people?
I love to embrace all kinds of persons of different backgrounds and, you know, faiths. So as friends, they would just, you know, they just came to support me. It's like, wow, this is something that she's been believing in. You know, we'll just, you know, go and check it out and see what's going on and, like, you know, what is her vision. So they would come and still do. I still do have non-Christians come to my events. And I really think it's because we set an atmosphere that makes them feel comfortable, and it's not that, like, you know, judgmental, you know, zone. Even at that time when it was at a church, I made sure, like I said, you know, it was nice, laid out, like at the Fields and Lounge, had the lights nicely dimmed, the nice music playing, you know, table set up as if it was like a lounge area. So that way they felt comfortable each time they did come, and they was welcomed. They was very much so welcomed.
That really, it sounds like the environment that you really desire to have, and it sounds like one that I'm desiring to have as well. I'm sure I'm going to get to you very soon. Talk to me about how people have responded, because now, you know, you have this great opportunity. You're using it well. You know, have you had people respond to Jesus or respond in some kind of positive way to Cafe Soul that you can tangibly look at?
I've had a lot of people that's come that have actually had positive changes in their lives. I had one friend who was a secular rap artist who gave his life to Jesus Christ at one of the Cafe Soul events, and now he's like full on fire Jesus Christ, you know, Christian rap artist. Like, he raps solely for the Lord and for the kingdom only. I've also had people who are, you know, they no longer drink alcohol and, you know, want to remain with the sobriety, so they appreciate coming to Cafe Soul because we do not serve alcohol. So they appreciate coming to an environment where they are not tempted by alcohol. I also had a time where there was these two young ladies that came to Cafe Soul, and we had a luau, and one of the girls was like, girl, hurry up, you know, we got like 5 minutes because I got to go to the club because, you know, my boy got these, you know, the whole VIP set up for us and everything. So they was only going to stay for a few minutes, but they ended up staying for the whole entire evening and participating in the open mic and everything. And I hadn't seen the young lady for about a year, but when I did see her, she's like, you know, that event, that one night changed my life. I turned my life around, and, you know, now, you know, I found a more positive path to go through. And although, you know, she didn't take the Christian path, but I'm totally, like, you know, okay with that because, you know, Lord could work in different ways to bring her closer to himself as well. But now she's in a better place than where she was before. And I'm all right with that because, you know, I got to change her life and to get a different perspective of life. And it's so beautiful.
I think that's what it's all about. It started with you as a young lady for yourself wondering, you know, what's the answer here? What do I do for fun, for relaxation, to socialize? And because you were able to open your ear to God, you were able to create an environment that's now blessing other people and helping people to realize just how good God is. He is thing. And when we come back, we're going to listen to a little bit more.
You know, every time I think about your goodness, God, in every way that you've made for me, it puts a smile on my face. And you know what? I can't help but sing about your faithfulness. And so I wrote you a little song. Can y'all come on and help me? Listen.
Clap your hands, this evening, come y'all. Said it's alright. Come on, y'all, said it's all right.
Move a little this evening, come on, y'all, I said it's all right.
And bump your head this evening, shake your head for Jesus on tonight. Oh,
to give you what you need. Don't you think?
Tracks music that you would hear if you were at Cafe Soul, and I bet you didn't know that there were these wonderful sounds and essences flowing in the Christian music world. But yes, you can expose yourself to something different, wonderful, and new. You know, I wanted to get an idea, Contessa, because I know when I was a new believer as well, I wanted a place like this, and it just didn't seem to exist. And every time I got wind of something that might have been close to it, either it closed down because of lack of support, which I couldn't imagine because I'm thinking, this is perfect, why wouldn't it be supported? before, there was a lot of controversy because there was this idea that if it was, you know, reflecting a club setting, that somehow it was, you know, secular and not to be supported. Have you faced any difficulties or challenges along these lines in your development of Cafe Soul?
Yes, I actually have. The church I had originally initiated Cafe Soul in, I eventually had to take it out of the four walls of that church because they were picking and prying the vision of Cafe Soul that God had gave me. And it was far beyond their way of thinking, unfortunately. God's ways are a lot bigger than our own ways. And sometimes, unfortunately, our Christian brothers and sisters are not able to grasp on that. So I, you know, had difficulty because of the type of music that I wanted to play. Or the type of people I even wanted to have to speak at Cafe Soul. With that being said, like, I know what division God gave to me. At the end of the day, I have to answer to him. And he's going to say, what did I tell you? Not what did Pastor so-and-so or what did they tell you? What did I tell you? And I want Cafe Soul to be the platform where people could be introduced to different mediums and forms of art and entertainment, and also to break mindsets. I want Christians to know that it's okay to let your hair down and listen to a little bit of, you know, like some type of India Iree, Dwele, Raheem Devon, like, you know, that good heartfelt music that is still out there in a secular world that you have to search for, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Also, I've had non-believers come to Cafe Soul while I'm playing Christian dance hall, and I'm like, they're like, wait, did he just say Jesus Christ, but isn't this reggae?
Yeah.
So just to break the mindsets and introduce them to something fresh and renewing.
It's very true, and what you're saying about secular music is true. I think every believer that came to a point where they really were sold out, completely dedicated, wanted to do things God's way, did get to this place where they, like, got rid of their whole music collection. You know, you hear those stories all the
yes.
time. I did it, you know. You
yes.
know. So, but there is that place. I mean, we live in a real world. If you're married, if you're a couple, you're not going to be listening to hymns on your date, right? You so
right.
What is that safe place that you know you can go to where you're going to be listening to music that's not going to be initiating lust and all kinds of things that are going to lead you down other roads, but real mm-hmm. love songs and real songs with a message. You know, you mentioned India Iree, Lauryn Hill, there's, you know, John Legend and Alicia Keys, but some of the names you mentioned, they are harder to find. Music
yes.
soul chat I stumbled upon through another believer who mm-hmm. shared this song, and I was like, this is the most beautiful song I've ever heard in my life. You know, the lyrics
yes.
about relationship and love and marriage commitment. I was like, are you serious? So it just opened my mind to what was out there. But if you know, it's a wonderful opportunity for you to be able to share what is good and true and not have people have to go and experiment, right? and through trial and error find things. So it's actually pretty joyous on your side to be able to offer that to your guests, to your patrons.
Exactly. And it's just like, I really think it's important for Christians to know, like, once you have your own relationship with God and you can make those decisions for yourself, like, learn to know what music best suits you, is suitable for you, you know, and your walk. What song may be good for you may not be good for another person, but that's why we're unique individuals for a purpose, you know? So definitely, it's just that taking ownership of your own Christian walk and molding it to what is your own.
That's very important. You know, I've been single for about 14 years now. I share that openly on the show. And so for me, in order to preserve myself in relationship with people, it's very important that I don't watch or listen to certain things. So while I can listen to that one particular song by Music Soul Child, there's nothing wrong with his other body of work, but it may not be for me because I'm not in a relationship. And if I turn my ear to it right now, it might start me getting, you know, into that kind of longing mindset where it's like, well, why am I still, you know, it starts the whole pity part of it. So there's nothing wrong with the music per se, but it's not right for me at this point in time. So I have to make that choice and be very wise about that. So that I would imagine that's what, you know, you mean about that. Tell me what kind of event, what could I expect at Cafe Soul within a given year? What could I see?
Absolutely. There is a plethora of events that we throw, from fundraiser events, networking events. Like, say, in January, we'll be doing what's called our New Year, New Connections networking event we do annually. We do CD release parties. We host many different local vendors, especially love to support small businesses, so that way they could display their, you know, their, you know, items that they do sell. We have art exhibits. We do open mics, which is truly a really, like, I say, open mic. It's not just for your artistic expression, but also if you have a testimony that you would like to share with your brothers and sisters, you could come up on a microphone and still share that in a public forum. If you have a business and you would like to, you know, go on the microphone and say, hi, my name is, you know, such and such, I own this business, and these are the type of events that I do host and that will be coming up pretty soon, we're wide open to supporting everybody. Like, you know, just come and just, you know, speak and express yourself, as well as network and make those new connections each time that you do come to Cafe Soul.
All right. So, people, if you were wondering where you could try out that new demo track you've been working on, or, you know, a poem, or just wanting to share something in a different venue than the four walls of the church, this is a wonderful opportunity. If you have great friends that you love and you want to expose them to an environment that is different than the normal club scene, great place to go. I'm setting that up because of the fact that I personally believe that with you as the owner, being a woman of faith, being a woman who's dedicated to her relationship with the Lord, that when people walk into your space, they'll be able to feel that. So whereas the church may have been concerned about, well, not everything's Christian music and not all the people here are solely Christian, feeling that you give to the environment can actually be more powerful in many ways. Have you found that to be true?
Absolutely. I've had people come through the doors of Cafe Soul and, like, they're like, wow, like, I could just feel the anointing in this place, or I just feel this comfort and presence. Like, I feel like I belong here. Like, they feel it as soon, every time, like, anytime a new person comes to those, like, to that door, they express the comfort and how they just feel, like, that presence as soon as they come through the door. And that's, like, that's even more encouraging to me, because it's like every time that somebody's positively affected or touched, that keeps me going. And that's, like, what keeps my vision for Cafe Soul to go and not to fold for anybody. Like, you know, as I always say to people, as long as the Lord puts a breath in my body, there will always be a Cafe Soul.
That's wonderful. That's great to know. You got to hold on to your dreams and your passion. And what you just said reminded me of a powerful story that I heard from Dark Child, who is a wonderful mega producer out in Hollywood. He's done a lot of work with Michael Jackson and Destiny's Child, and the list goes on and on. I was at a seminar with him, and he shared Michael Jackson coming to the studio. Now, Dark Child is a Christian, but he works on all types of music. And he said Michael Jackson came into the studio, and right before they started work, that Mr. Jackson said to him, there's something different about this studio space. Now, you're talking about someone who's been in this business since he was a child, and he took the time to say something different about the environment in here, and I'm, you know, getting chilled again to hear the story. But what Mr. Jackson didn't know is that Dark Child had prayed over the whole space before he came
Amen.
In and just committed everything to God. And
Amen.
By Mr. Jackson saying that, he was able to express that to him, and Mr. Jackson
mm-hmm.
asked for prayer, and they were able to pray together before they started their session. And see, that's what this is about, you know, and we get so caught up into just all this kind of religiosity that is not going to change people's lives. And the
mm-hmm.
power is really in who we are and how connected we are to the Lord, that people can actually see that peace in us and that it can be physically felt in the room when they walk into your home, when they sit in your car, you know, when they're
mm-hmm.
at your the office. You know, this is not just for you in terms of Cafe Soul, but whatever we put our hands to, it should be palpable to the people around
Amen.
Us. They can sense that. So I'm curious, at the top
Amen.
Of the show about, you know, you searching for love in all the wrong places and that you, you know, not feeling this fulfillment. Are you whole now? Do you feel that completeness in your life?
I absolutely, at this time and moment that we are talking, Miss Jackie, I feel very whole right now. Everything has come to like a complete circle of me. Like, you know, I'm 31, where I did in my 20s, I've learned, and I'm 31 now, and I'm happy at where I'm at in my spirituality. I'm happy with the love that I've received from Jesus Christ. I'm happy with where Cafe Soul is, because Cafe Soul, that's my child. That's my baby right now. I don't have any kids yet, but this is my baby, my five-year-old baby. So I feel very whole because I know what I'm doing is setting a legacy here, but also is setting up souls to go into the kingdom. Like, I'm doing something that's purposeful and meaningful, and it feels so wonderful.
So tell me about that journey. How long did it take you to get there?
The journey, I used to be one of those Bible beaters. I had friends that would let me know, that will let you know, let me know, like, oh, my God, there's a verse every other sentence. But, you know, I will say that the church I was attending, I was hurt very deeply by that church, but it also humbled me, and to the point where I felt more relative to people. And, you know, there were other ups and downs in my life, still dealing with men and whatnot. Throughout those ups and downs, I still had to hold on to the vision of Cafe Soul and not lose hope and still, like, you know, like that strong mother that, you know, the child would never know what the mother went through, but she still kept faith and still kept strong. That's what I had to do for my Cafe, you know, for Cafe Soul. And so that journey built character in me, and it also gave me more of appreciation of my life as well as appreciation of what God has given me, especially this vision of Cafe Soul.
You know, there's a wonderful saying that God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. And
mm-hmm.
if he calls you, he'll qualify you. And what is the call? Well, I'm telling you, if you're listening right now, this is what the call sounds like. Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is the Lord and believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. And that's the beginning point. And until Contessa went to that beginning point, she couldn't have had this vision for Cafe Soul. She wouldn't have had this baby that would have kind of guided her direction and directed her path and even kept her on the path of growing herself. Sometimes the dream that we're given is the very thing that helps us to grow and mature, because we understand it's bigger than ourselves. And as my guest even last week shared, that your dream has to be bigger than you, because then you realize that you have to fall down on your knees every day in order to accomplish it and make it happen,
Amen.
That you cannot do it on your own.
Amen.
Yeah, definitely.
That's
so
a beautiful revelation.
Well, that's what I heard from what you were sharing. And I want people to know where can they find Cafe Soul, where can they get more information?
Cafe Soul is currently located in Providence, Rhode Island, right at 62 Dyke Street. You can get more information through our website, which is www.cafe-soul.org. We also do have a Cafe Soul page on Facebook, as well as we have Cafe Soul 2009 on both Twitter and Instagram. And I'm not opposed to getting personal requests on my personal Facebook page, which is Contessa the Countess Brown. Anyway, you would like to reach out to us, just, you know, you can go through our website or through our Facebook pages. And come to get to know us and come to get your soul replenished and refilled.
I like that. And if you are on this blog talk page right now, all you have to do is two things. Go to the very top of the page and you see that follow button. Just click on that and you'll be able to follow me in any episodes that will be coming up. You'll get a little alert on that. But if you scroll down, you will see Cafe Soul's website link right there. You can click to it and just connect with her directly through the website. We've made it easy for you. Cafe Soul, all genres of Christian music and good music, a place for couples that's safe, a place for individuals to just go out and chill that's safe. You know, I think it's a wonderful thing that you're doing, and I'm really glad that we had this opportunity to share and to talk together. I want you to do me two favors, Contessa.
Yeah.
If you could, one, go ahead and like my Facebook page if you haven't already, but please do send your artists and your business people towards my Facebook page, because we can network, and who knows, there might be some future guests in there for Don't Give Up Radio, so I'd love that.
Absolutely, definitely.
Thank you for being on.
And thank you so much for this opportunity.
Well, next week we are going to, it is Christmas weekend, and we're going to have a re-airing, but I promise to pick something really wonderful for you. And as we start off the new year, we are going to have Dr. Casey Winans here, and she is going to help us begin the new year off with a healthy start, all those promises that we usually make and break. She's going to actually help us to understand why we should stick to it. And as I'm getting older, I realize I have to make some changes. So until then, I want you to continue to be your own best hero, because the greatest hero of all said that you were worth it when he gave his life for you on the cross, and that's Jesus Christ. Don't give up, radio. I want you not to give up, because you're closer than you think, and to understand that in everything you do, give thanks. As this year is closing and you don't know what next year looks like, still, give thanks, because praise is always necessary.
It's your boy James Fortune with my boy Ken Jones.
I say, hold up, wait a minute, let me put my praise in it. Hold up, wait a minute, let me put my praise in it.
Let you know that you don't have a right to remain silent, because praise is necessary. Yeah, come on.
I say, hold up, wait a minute, let me put my praise in it. Hold up, wait a minute. Put my praise in
it.
My praise is always necessary. It comes first, not secondary. And I'm bold, he saved me and made me whole. Now I love him. When it comes to praise, gotta let go. Can't hold back and I can't say no. He deserves all my praise. I will praise him the rest of my day. Lord God, how mighty. I bless this declaration that praise is necessary.
Everybody got to say that.
Praise is necessary.
It's necessary.
Praise him in the morning, praise him in the
I never stop lifting his name higher. Every single day, because I set my soul on fire. Move these shackles like Mary, Mary. And know my praise is necessary. Necessary.
Oh my goodness.
Praise.
What I'm going through.
Necessary.
Right now.